A little and asked their mom one time during the preaching service, said, "Preacher just took his watch off and looked at it. What does that mean, Mama?" She said, "Absolutely nothing."
Amen.
It's 8 o'clock in Arkansas.
It is in Alabama, too.
So I got a long time. Appreciated the preaching tonight. Enjoyed what Brother Freddie had to say. I can't believe he called you an old man. And I got to fix everything he messed up. I'm mad at him. He's got too much hair to start with.
He made a few perfect heads.
Yeah, I know. Yes, sir. I'm glad to hear that you're still in a jovial mood. Remains to be seen if you will be when I'm done.
Oh, if the Spirit will come, brother, and bless you.
Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58. Those of you who might not have been here last night, I certainly don't take this in any way, shape, form, fashion to even give the slightest inkling that I could improve upon what might have been said. I'd just like to take up where he left off. Please pray. Isaiah 58, 8. I want you to listen. A little scared. I've got a beginning place and an ending place. I don't know what's going to be between them.
We'll let the Lord fill it, brother.
58, 8. Then, I want you to remember that word. Then.
Amen.
Then. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily. And thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy rearward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, "Here I am." Wow. Wow. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity. If thou draw out thy soul to the hungry. That's not all spiritual.
Amen. Amen.
And satisfy the afflicted soul. Then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday.
Amen.
When's all this going to happen?
Amen.
Then.
Yeah.
And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. and they that shall be of thee. You know who that is?
Yes.
That's your children.
Yes.
And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Now don't you get in your idea that we don't have any. Thou shalt raise up the foundation of many generations. Thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach. The restorer of paths to dwell in. I got to tell you, I can't hardly imagine what all that might be. But I sure do like to think about it. I sure do like to think about it. Already been said and confirmed and agreed with. I even heard some of you say amen. You might have slipped out, whether you knew it or not. But I heard some of you agree. As goes the church, so grows the nation. You didn't go back far enough. As goes the family, so goes the church, so goes the nation. Might shock some. Lord, forgive me. One preacher said last night about living in reality. Preacher in front of me, whose mess I'm trying to clean up.
Right.
Said, we're just talking plain.
Yep.
They don't get no plainer than this. Some old Baptist might be totally shocked by this. Especially if you're old line.
Yeah.
God instituted the family long time before he did the church. God's pattern to manifest himself and his order on the face of this earth before church was a concept was family. When the family loses sight of what God's order is on the face of this earth, is it any wonder our churches are waste places? Wow. I see some of you getting nervous already. You ain't near as nervous as I am. But it's not because I'm scared of you. That's because I know the reality of what I'm speaking. I've lived it. I do live it. I'm in the big middle of it. And I know what it is. And our salvation is not in ourselves. It's then. Then. Then, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. The Lord talked about house building in so many different ways, already been mentioned from Matthew chapter 7, where he closed out at least one of those greatest sermons that ever was preached upon the face of this earth. And he made a contrast between two different kinds of people. Both of them were hearers of his word. And both of them shared in this life in its afflictions, its trials and the storms of the winds, the waves of the sea, the troubling times, circumstances, and all of the things that goes on in all of our lives. You see, every one of us are confronted by the same thing in this world. Just some of us act like we're not. And don't admit it.
That's right.
But it's there.
It's there.
And he said the difference between these two different kinds of people, one being wise and the other being foolish, because both were building houses. And I understand that simply to mean that they both were building their lives. They were living out their existence upon the face of this earth, building families. And whether they would stand or whether they would fall in the things that would come against them, and neither side being exempt from it, both of them hearing what he had to say would be dependent upon what their house was founded on. And what he said their house was founded upon was manifested in this. One did what they heard, and the other one didn't. Point is, we're all building houses. We're all building lives. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. We glory in that to some extent. The bottom line fact of it is that you are training them. Positive, negatively, good, bad, or indifferent. They are learning from you. And the point is that you teach them young. What they learn when they are young is what they'll be when they're older.
You got it.
You mold them while they're still pliable and listening. Because when they get old, they won't change. You ever hear about anybody being sat in their ways? I heard today about the Lord being sat and the Lord being set. My grandpa was sat in his ways. He had two ways, in fact. His way and the wrong way. Point is, we're all building houses.
Amen.
How you doing? What you building it on? What are you doing with it? God's pattern's always been family. And that's one man, one woman, one lifetime.
Yeah.
And children are the addition of that.
Right.
The extension of that.
Yeah.
Future families. And you have the privilege, as God's heritage, to raise up children to the glory of God.
Amen.
I looked up the definition of build because when I began to consider this text of, I'm not trying to forget Isaiah 58. When I began to consider again this Psalms 127 verse 1, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. For one thing, every time I come back to this passage of Scripture, something else jumps out at me every time. And when I read this first verse this time, I noticed that there was two builds in that verse. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Wow. I looked up the word build. And in the English, it means this. It means to erect a dwelling. Now, I know y'all know this, but I hadn't thought about this. It means to erect a dwelling by fitting together separate parts. You know, when I think about building a house, I think about hammers and nails and saws and boards and shingles and But I hadn't thought about the concept that what's building is actually taking the hammer and the nails and the boards and the shingles and all of those different pieces and actually fitting it together. It means to frame and raise in construction by gradual means. Slowly. The brothers done said it's not happening overnight. We didn't get in this fix overnight. We'll not get out overnight. It's by gradual means. It's slow in coming. When you drive by a construction site and you see the walls going up and all of the pieces coming together, you think about what's going on at that actual time is just the end results of what actually began the building. Somebody thought of an image of a building in their mind and began to put it down in print and in planning and began to count the cost and to accumulate the materials and began to think about the skilled workers and all of the craft and all of the abilities that it would take to bring all of this together and begin to put together a crew and to supply them with the tools and all the materials and all of the time and how much it was going to cost and how long it was going to take to get it done, because in the mind of the planner, the end result was the house it would be fit to dwell in. When we just think about the building being built and the workers out there, they're just doing what the planner had in mind. So except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Unless the Lord is the architect, the designer, the builder, the planner, the one that foots the bill, the one that hires the crew, the one that equips the needs, the one that buys the tools, knows all that it will take to get this job done, the construction crew is laboring in vain.
Amen.
I used to work on a construction site, and I guess unless you did and don't know what I'm talking about, you might not think this near so funny. I've always had, and my wife, bless her heart, says I've got a strange sense of humor. Actually, to be honest, she said a sick one. But as we went into this one construction site, there was this great big poster on the side of the wall there as we'd walk through Brass Alley where we'd be going in. It was a picture of a huge hole in the ground. And all of these workers down in this hole, and the construction was going on, and they were building and building and all types of machinery and everything like this. And there's guys standing up here at the top, and he's got wrote across the back of his head, foreman. And the caption under it is, "Hey, knock it off, guys. The engineer had the plans upside down." They're going the wrong direction. Doing a lot of work. Getting a lot of done. Spending a lot of money. Using up a lot of materials. But they was going the wrong direction. Wow. I recently watched a film. I told myself I wasn't going to do this. It impressed me. I knew better. I knew it would. It impressed me so much. Wow. Is there room to duck? We had movie night at the church house.
Wow.
Woo! That's why I'm drinking so much water. I was so impressed by what I saw, I thought our folks at home needed to see it. This DVD was made by this young man. Perhaps some of you have seen it, heard about it. It's called Divided. put together by this young man. Sorry, he's not a PB. And not a one of the people on it were Primitive Baptist. And none of them were speaking from Primitive Baptist bias ideas. Oh, I'm sorry, you didn't know Primitive Baptists were bias. We are. Not a one of them spoke from Primitive Baptist bias. The entirety of it was shock of all shocks. Is the failed system of youth ministries. Across denominational lines and in multifaceted backgrounds of belief, those that have been the greatest proponents of youth ministries are admitting they do not work. They don't work. They're admitting and shocked by it, and they're troubled by it, because one charitable estimate is that they are losing at least 40% of all of their youth by college age. More say that by 80% by college age. In the middle school grade level, that's about 12 years old, by the time that they're that age, they have lost at least 50% of their youth. And the conclusion that they have come to is the reason that youth ministry, youth groups, I'm not an old Baptist preacher railing on youth groups and trying to make y'all feel bad about other folks down the road. I'm telling you what they said. What they said. What they said. And they're coming to the conclusion that the reason that their youth ministries have failed is that they never were sanctioned by God to begin with.
Amen.
One guy said, well, I've been a proponent of them, I've been a pastor of them, I've been a youth minister for all of my life in four different states. He said, and I have the same result in every state. And in every time. He said, we get together, we spend a lot of money, we gain big crowds, we have a good time. He said, but other than smashing a bunch of watermelons like Gallagher, he said, I wonder, what did we do? What did we do? One feller was bold enough to say, listening to some of these things, and stood up in the congregation and told the man that was giving this acclamation of their, I want you to listen to this, their admission that their system does not work. A brother stood up in the congregation during one of this man's declarations of this and said, brother, I hear what you're saying. I see from the word of God it's right. But if I go back to my church, and teach this and do this, my church will kill me. The man's response to the brother was, then die. Then die. Are y'all with me?
Yeah, I'm right here, brother. Go ahead. I ain't went nowhere.
Be careful. Because we like it when the shoe's on the other foot. Don't we? We like it when folks down the road's having to admit that what they've been doing don't work. Well, now, you know, we've known that all along. We've been preaching that for 40 years. Well, in fact, longer than that. We've known that all along. And it's real hard for me to stand up here in Georgia and tell you all this tonight when you've had a group of young men singing like they did up here in front and leading y'all along and y'all taking pictures. I hope the back of my head didn't mess your picture up. If I'd known you was going to do that, I would have. So you got a good-looking bunch And I admire these young men.
Amen.
I admire them. So it's hard for me to say some of this in the light of that. But I want you to know something and for you to admit it. What you've seen here tonight is not the norm. Most of us will go back to our little churches in the backsides of rural America,
right. Hit
out in the backside of the woods where folks can't find us even with a map or a GPS. Please listen to me. I'm not trying to be funny. And we'll go back to our respected places of abode. We'll go back to our little places where we have our services that embrace certain evenings and weekends. And we'll have warm fellowship, good services, and we're losing our young folks faster than they are. Well, now, how do you figure that? How in the world can you figure that? They're admitting that they are losing theirs because they have been promoting a system that does not work, not sanctioned by God. But they've been active. And they've been doing. And they've been trying. But it's not working. And they're willing to go public and admit it. And while they did all of these things for all of these years, and we've known all of this time that that don't work, to make sure that we don't look like them, the putting forth of the finger. And the speaking of vanities, we run to the ditch on the other side of the road, and we did nothing. And we clammed up. And if they said it, we would not say it. And if they did it, we would not do it. We didn't want to even give the slightest hint that we looked like that. We'd afraid somebody would say something wrong about us. And Lord help us, we've hid under a sign on top of a building and gained our identity from a name that's not Jesus Christ. And said that's what identifies us when it's not. What identifies us is what we do.
That's right.
And how we live. Mm. And how we raise our families.
Amen.
Wow. Mercy. Maybe y'all have heard about a place called Joplin.
Yep.
The wife and I went up there recently. Viewed the destruction. Except the Lord built the house. They labor in vain, they built it. So they tell me, I don't know, I ain't been around that long in America, but today's my birthday. Y'all all wondering, you thinking I'm 20. Brother Harold said I'm 63. He's wrong. I'm 54. Wow. It got here quick. Got here quick. Way too quick. We went up to Joplin and we looked at the devastation of what they tell me is the biggest tornado that's come through America in years. And you stand there, and I don't have words to describe it. I was telling one of the brother Tim, some of them earlier. There's no words for me to describe it other than to say that it actually looks like while you're standing there of the pictures of France and Italy that I saw after the invasion in World War II. Absolute, utter destruction. You can't imagine it. There's no words to describe it. It is absolute nothing but rubble. And as I stood there, and you could come around a corner, and it looked like nothing had happened. You're thinking, what's the big deal? there's nothing here. And you come around this corner in this street, and there's a shingle out of place, and a sign maybe a little loose. And you round this other corner on top of the hill, and as far as you can see in every direction, absolute ruin.
Lord, hey up, brother.
It's breathtaking. And as I stood there and looked at that, I didn't just see buildings destroyed.
No, you see lives.
I saw lives
That's
in rubble.
Right.
I saw folks wandering around, not knowing where to go. They didn't have any place to stay. They didn't have anything to go back to. They didn't have any place to call their own anymore. I saw older folks sitting in piles of rubble. That's where their house used to be. I saw children running up and down the streets and animals loose in the streets. Emergency vehicles going here and yonder. It's absolute chaos. But the worst thing that I saw about it is I didn't see Joplin.
Yeah.
I saw God's people.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
I saw the church.
Yeah.
I saw us. I saw me.
Okay.
Lives in ruin everywhere. Oh, you, we don't have them.
Yes, we do.
Oh, no, we don't have those problems.
Yes, we do.
The storms come.
Yeah.
The winds blow.
Yeah.
The waves beat against us.
Yeah.
And even among us, some stand and some fall.
Yeah.
We lose just as much as everybody else does. And the name over the door don't secure us.
No.
It's the rock under our feet.
Come on.
That keeps us. If the Lord doesn't build the house, those that are nailing up the boards are wasting their time. You're going the wrong direction. You're wasting materials. You're spinning your wheels. You'll come to no end. It'll only end up in destruction. Call a halt to it. Somebody admit it. Somebody say stop. The engineer had the plans upside down. Some foreman somewhere needs to say hold the phone. Something's wrong with this picture. Would I be allowed to live over tonight to tell you that I have been a part of a system that does not work?
Amen.
Oh boy. I've been a part of a system that don't work. It ain't been youth groups. And it ain't been the absenteeism of them. It's been because I didn't train my children in the way they should go. Oh, well, now, wait a minute. Hold it. I trained my children. I taught them the value of a dollar. I told them it was important to go to work. I instilled to them good work ethics, respect towards elders, all those kind of things. I had instilled it in them in such a way that I worked 60 and 70 hours a day to do it. I worked 60 and 70 hours a day after I was even honest enough and bold enough to say I believe I'd been called to preach God's word. And then I justified not only the absence of them while I was there for not there for 60 and 70 hours, I justified another 4 and 5 hours a night being absentee from them because I had to study for a message on Sunday. And my wife took the charge. And she took them to the ball games, and she took them to this, and she did this with them, and she done all of that. And I could gripe and complain and do all I wanted to about what I didn't like them being involved in all of that, but I was letting her do it. You know who's supposed to be the leader?
I do.
You.
God
help
us.
Amen.
Head of the house.
Me.
Yes, sir.
God holds me accountable.
He surely does, bro.
Boy, this is tough.
Go ahead.
It's hard. Brethren, I believe it's needful. I've seen an onslaught of the attack of Satan.
Yes.
On ministerial families in the last 10 years, I never thought I'd ever live to believe it in my life. I thought I was exempt from it, and the next thing you know, it hit me right between the eyes. And I found my own kids doing things I'd never thought I'd have to try to make excuse for them doing. Any of you know what I'm talking about? I would hope you don't. Well, maybe you do. And I was confronted one night by a little feller just about that tall.
Oh, Lord.
As he sat in my lap and looked up at me and calling me Hi-Paw. And everything of me and my old staunch backgrounds and raising was telling me I didn't like this situation. This ain't what it's supposed to be. I can't get along with this. I will not admit it. I will not condone it. Grandpa. Will you continue on being the staunch religionist, legalist, traditionalist? Staunch in what you believe and never admit that you're wrong? None of y'all are like this. I'm talking about me. Or will you grow up and be grandpa?
Yes, Lord.
And maybe be the only male example of what this little fella will ever have.
Yes.
To see what God intends for a head of a house and a dad and a husband and a grandpa and a man of God to be.
Amen.
Which will you choose?
Yes.
I chose to be grandpa.
Amen. May God bless you.
I choose to be grandpa. I woke up one morning a long time back, a few years ago. Maybe some of y'all have that Hall of Fame where all those pictures are hanging. And you can just see the years pass by just real quick by walking down the hall. I woke up one morning at the other end of the hall and I was standing there looking at these people and I said, who in the world is this? And how did they get to be like this? Where was I at? I thought I was doing what I'm supposed to do. But who's these grown up folks looking back at me? They was my children. And I realized that there's this great big gap between me and them. And I didn't know how to fill it. I didn't know what to do about it. I didn't understand how it could ever happen. And I know one thing for sure, it couldn't be my fault. Because you see, I know what was right. And I've done what's right. And I've been among the right folks. And I never done what them people do that I know don't work. And I'm amazed they finally figured it out. Well, what's wrong with me? What happened to mine? And I was reading, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. For thus he giveth his beloved sleep. You ever lay awake at night worrying about him? Waiting for the door to shut to see if they come in. Wondering if they remembered everything you told them. And if they've been doing what you told them not to do. Or stewing what you told them to do. But now you take a little comfort because you heard the door click. Little children, heritage of the Lord.
Yes.
The fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hands of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Blessed is the man who hath his quiver full of them. Oh, he shall not be ashamed. They shall speak with the enemies in the gates. And for the first time in my life, because you see, I always thought I had this church priority. I thought that was talking about the church. And it finally dawned on me that that was talking about what preceded the church.
Amen.
A family.
Amen.
If you don't build your houses right, there ain't going to be no sense in a watchman watching the city. Because it starts in the house.
Amen.
With moms and dads and children. Raising them right by the word of God. And okay, we've missed it. We've done it. This big gap. I was fascinated by the phrase, thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach. The repairer of paths to dwell in. Fascinated by it. How do you fix that? What do you do with that? You know what it takes? Simply being willing to open your mouth.
Amen.
To your children.
Amen.
Sometimes it might be just sit down with your son or your daughter and say, I messed up.
Amen.
I've wasted a lot of time.
Amen.
I missed the mark.
Yes.
But I thought I was doing good. But God showed me where I messed up. I want to tell you the way it should be. Wow. That's all it takes. Is to simply teach this book. Every chance you get.
Yes.
From the time of their conception. Oh, I was told. He's going to preach on his birthday. Well, here's me preaching on my birthday. My birthday was not the day I was given life. It was the day that I manifested life. My life came at least some 9 months prior to that. And it was given instantaneously in the dark.
Amen.
I manifested life when I came forth from my mother crying.
Amen.
There's a principle in that.
Absolutely.
And your little kids can understand it.
Yes, sir.
Let me tell you a story. And I'll quit. Y'all ready, aren't you? This is tough. This is hard. Then shalt thou call. When we start doing this, God said, then you call me, and I'll say, here I am.
Yes, Lord.
Here I am.
Yes.
And I'll turn all of this around when you do this. I'll answer when you call. Several years ago, my second son, I had him dead to rights. I've told this before, maybe have here, but I don't remember. My forgetter's working. I had him dead to rights. When I asked him if he knew anything about what I was telling him, he's 15. No, I don't know anything about what to say. I said, do you want to make sure and think about it? No, sir, I don't know anything you're saying. I didn't do that. I didn't have nothing to do with it. He knew I knew he is lying. But he wouldn't admit it. I said, okay, son. Tell you what I'll do. And this ain't it because I had to get a new one. I reached down beside my desk, my chair, and I picked up my Bible. I said, son, do you know what this is? Now, he could have been a smart man. He said, yeah, Dad, it's a book. He said, yes, sir. That's the Word of God. I said, I want you to take this book, put it in your lap, put your hand on it, and tell me with your hand on this book that you don't know nothing about what I'm saying. You were not involved, and I'm going to believe you because I respect this book. And if you tell me before God with your hand on his book you don't know nothing about what I'm talking about, I will believe you. And I laid the book in his lap. And the tears welled up in his eyes. And he started to shake. And he looked at me and he said, Dad, I can't do it. I said, what do you mean you can't do it? You can't lie to me? Probably wouldn't good for Dad to say. He said, no, sir. I cannot put my hand on God's word and tell you I didn't do that. I did it. I said, thank you, son. I'm glad to see you appreciate God's word. Now let's go to the back of the house and we'll settle the issue. That's not the whole story. Then shalt thou call. Then. Just a couple of years ago, I'm getting older, and I started thinking about older things. And the wife and I was putting together a will. I don't have a lot to leave. I don't have a lot of money. I don't have a lot of possessions. I still owe for most everything I got. I might have to work till I'm 80 to pay my house off. Really? Really? I'm not making that up, really. And I was sitting there, and this same son now who is the dad of two of my grandchildren. I got six, yeah, I know. Don't look like I'm old enough to be that way. I got six. He was sitting there in the living room with me, and I was saying, son, I've been thinking about writing some things down. Is there anything particular that you'd write like for me to put your name on? Now, he's grown now. Turns 30 this year. Where'd he come from? How'd he get there? He said, I'll tell you, boy, I mean just like that. Without hesitation. I thought he was fixing to tell me, man, I want that 270 that you got with the 3x9 scope on it that's in the case, got the sling on it and all that. I want you 45 XD. And that's what I want. I thought he'd want all that. Maybe your truck. It's new. But boy, he answered me just like that. He said, I'll tell you what I want, Dad. He said, I want that book laying over on the table by your chair. I said, you do? He said, yes, sir. Not just any of them. I know you got several. I want that one you put in my lap when I was 15 that you held me accountable before God on. I want that book. That's the book I've saved you from the time I was big enough to sit in the chair and read one beside you. I've seen you every morning with it in your lap. I want that book. He's got it. I handed it to him that day and went and bought me a new one. Then shalt thou call. And I'll answer. And say, here I am. God said, I'll turn your case. I'll fix your system. I'll bring back your children. You'll be the builder of foundations for generations to come. They that shall be of thee? Wow. I don't want you to feel bad and hard that we've made such a mess, because I see this in the face of old ones all the time. One more. I said I was quitting. I am. Finally, brethren, two more chapters. I sat and listened to an old sister one time that told me, Brother Staten, I just don't understand this. I raised my son in the church. I made him sit on a pew all the days of his life. And just as soon as he got out of high school, he left and he hadn't come back. And she is telling the truth. She said, I don't understand. I said, sister, it's because they don't learn about God from the end that sits on the pew.
Right. Amen.
They learn about God from you sharing with them.
Amen.
From the Word of God. And your experience, why you go to church, why you want them there, why do you cry when the preacher's preaching?
Yeah.
Is it because he's that loud, that hard, that much hard to look at? You're miserable, it's too hot, the seats are uncomfortable. Why are you doing that? Tell me why. Children are full of whys. Answering. Because I love the Lord. And because this book to me is more than any money or amount that I could ever give you. And though I can't put $100 bills between every page, I'll assure you that it's full of treasures out of this world.
Amen.
Take the book and eat it up. and teach it diligently to your children. Amen. You speak of it while you're sitting, while you're rising, while you're standing, while you're laying down, in your house, out of your house, everywhere you go. Teach it to your children so that they'll know when they face the storms of life, they got a rock to stand on.
Amen.
That's not big theology or fancy words. But then, thou'll be called a repairer of the breach. God bless you.